This happened before.
I can't lie.
Since my baby left.
Oh, okay, I'm fine. Oh, it's pity. I was enjoying that.
John Peel, much loved radio DJ and complete technical incompetence. Not that anyone cared. In fact, his informal style, Ron speeds, and occasional outbursts were the things that endeared him to millions. Oh, and the music, of course.
I'm Johnny Walker.
And I'm Ben Swink. We're the Soledad Brothers.
Though he'd be embarrassed to hear it said out loud on national radio, John Peel played an important role in many people's lives, including ours. We first met John in the fall of 2002 at Maida Vale doing a live radio show for him. We recorded two other sessions, and genuinely feel part of our career was thanks to him.
When we heard he had passed away, we were in Los Angeles on tour. We dedicated our show to him that night. This month we recorded a tribute track for John with Pete Shelley, the Dotsons, Roger Daltrey, and some of the other bands he had championed throughout his career. John had kept a box with some of his favorite 45s in it. Our first 7-inch was in there, along with some of the other bands who recorded this single. Doing this was the very least we could do to thank John for everything he did for us.
It turns out we're not the only ones that wanted to find a way of remembering John. All over the UK and all over the world, fans, musicians, and listeners have been looking for ways to carry on John Peel's legacy. This documentary looks at just some of them.
We're not going to interrupt. The stories speak for themselves. Some of the names you'll recognize, some of them you won't. They're all people who think like we do, that John Peel's good work should carry on, somewhere, somehow.
One of the quickest organizations off the mark to pay tribute to John was Glastonbury Festival. Here's Emily Evis.
John obviously always champions a lot of really brilliant new music. And so for us, it was really the obvious thing to do, to rename the new band's tent, the John Peel Stage. We were choosing stuff that we thought would be good for Glastonbury, and some of them were stuff that John Peel would have really championed, and some of it would have been stuff he probably wouldn't have liked. But it was a real success. A lot of people kind of streamed down there and like really wanted to kind of spend some time in that tent for John, I suppose. It was always really inspired me that he actually listened to every single demo that was sent, because I get sent a lot of demos as well, and when I heard that, I was like, God, he's so much better than me.
It's a strange thing, we were talking about demos while that was playing, because obviously we get sent an enormous number to the programme, and between us we try to listen to them all if we possibly can, although this doesn't always prove to be possible, because there are just so many, I mean more than we could really listen to, unless we stayed up all night, and frankly I don't fancy doing that. But, and you know, there is a responsibility involved in it, because there are people's lives tied up in these things, and it's important to them, and remains important to us.
I suppose there will always be a kind of element of remembering him every year, because we've got the stage now, and we'll definitely keep that going.
This one fades in.
My name is David Norton. I'm chairman of the Spalding Flower Parade. The idea of naming a tulip after John, really, I suppose, it's one of these things that happened around the pint after a meeting. After John's sad death, we thought there should be something we can do, and somebody came up with the idea, first of all, of naming a tulip after John. Luckily, there was a red tulip available, and that immediately sparked the imagination of lots of us thinking, well, sort of revolutionary red fitted John, and it would actually be the right colour for him. And obviously, the football team was links with Liverpool were a determining factor. Having spoken to Sheila, she's very encouraging about the project. And the family are looking forward to, as she has said to us, John coming up in supporters' gardens throughout the land.
So you're more popular than Jesus, and he's quite a strong competitor. He can turn water into wine. Well, I can turn red wine into piss pretty quickly, and in fact, probably will have done so before the night is out.
My name's Conor McNicholas. I'm the editor of the NME. We'd had the award for musical innovation for a couple of years, and it occurred to us that actually this award for innovation would actually suit John's legacy. No competition. The first John Peel Award for innovation, a bit of a strange choice actually, ended up going to the others. I'm not sure they're a band that John really would have given an awful lot of time to, but I think he would have respected what it was that they were doing. playing gigs on tube trains and round at people's houses and trying to shake things up a little bit rather than just doing the run-of-the-mill record industry stuff. We talk about bands now and we discuss in the office whether they were kind of a John Peel band or not, but anybody who tries to second guess what John would have liked or disliked is onto a loser, because you just never knew where he was going to go next.
When people ask me, as they often do, you know, what criteria do you apply to choosing records for the programme? And I've never known the answer to that, nor would I wish to know the answer to it, because I feel that at the core of everything that's worth doing, everything that's good, there must be remain a kind of kernel, you know, something which is unidentifiable and indescribable, and so that's probably what it is that affects me about it.
Hi, my name's Steve Tilley. I'm the promoter at the Sugar Mill, which is a live music venue and nightclub in Stoke-on-Trent. We've expanded our venue by building a new room, and I was talking to one of the DJs one day, and he said, you do realise that John Peel was stuck in a traffic jam in Stoke-on-Trent when he first heard the Undertones' Teenage Kicks.
I heard Peter Powell play the Undertones' Teenage Kicks, which I'd been playing for months, but to hear it played by somebody else was a stupendous thing, and I actually burst into floods of tears in the traffic jam.
And he said, you should name the room after John Peel. And I just went, that's a cracking idea, mate. And that's it, you know, that's how it came about. It was a conversation in a pub.
This is Radio 1.
At which point the record should have started, but for some extraordinary reason. People think I do this deliberately, you know, but it didn't start.
My name is Neil Jenkins, and I've been a Peel listener for approximately 27 years off and on, and I think it's fair to say that my musical taste has been completely distorted for the better as a result of it. When I was at school, this will have been around 77, I was, like a lot of people at that time, I was exchanging punk records with various people. And then one school friend told me that there was this odd bloke on Radio 1 who played the stuff, and sure enough, there he was. I don't want to walk around with them. I don't want to walk around with them.
I don't want to walk around with them. So why you want to walk around them? A key moment was going to see the Nightingales, as they subsequently became, playing in London from Birmingham. And they had this song, and Robert Lloyd, who was the singer, came up and grabbed the microphone and he said, we've got this song called I've Got VD. 1, 2, 3, I've Got VD! And then that was the end of the song. And I just thought, that is as great a moment as I will ever experience.
It was almost like you were in his living room, you know, and you had your feet on his coffee table and a beer in your hand, and he was playing you his latest records. And it was, I don't want to say unprofessional, that's a ridiculous thing to say.
That's two mistakes. It's one of those things where I thought that they'd done the thing where they put, switch that through to Grams and try that one again. I'm sorry, listeners, I really hate this.
For me, his death was felt more by me than the members of my family have died. And then that sounds a terribly awful thing to say, but it's something that really hit me with quite a blow. I mean, for me personally, it was a weird situation because the day he died was also the day I got married. So sort of sadness and happiness all rolled into one. There's a group of people trying to set up a radio station dedicated to John. Not DJs with radio experience, but DJs who just have this passion of music that they got from John. It's not about playing the stuff that he used to play, it's about taking things forward and playing the stuff that, not necessarily the stuff that he would have played if he was still with us, but, you know, trying to expose people to music that they wouldn't have heard.
One of our dogs was sick during one of your songs. I don't know if you caught that.
Which song was that?
I think it's the third one. I don't know the titles here, but he'd been out in the road eating grass because we were all standing in the road listening.
So he'd been out in the road sick right under the window. Said,
Philip Woods. I'm a programmer for a paint company and been listening to John Peel since he started, you know, with Radio London, and listened to him ever since. Sorely miss him. All the happy hardcore, grunge, grime, I think that's fantastic, you know, all the techno stuff. I'm in my 50s, but I still think it's better than the stuff that you hear on, you know, in any other channels. It started really when I was in hospital and I used to take a portable in because the hospital radio was so dire. I used to record them at night and listen to them, you know, non-stop during the day. And I couldn't bring myself to actually go over them because they were so good and, you know, you heard something different each time. Oh, yes, now, I told my nephew about this and he cottoned onto the idea, so he started taping these shows himself, but he was a bit more meticulous and he taped every single show from about 1990 to 1993. Instead of him buying me birthday and Christmas presents every year for Christmas and birthday, I would get a package of John Peel tapes. Well, I've got about 500 so far and he's got about another 300 left to give me. They just stand up, you know, with John's sort of comments, because I think he had a great sense of humour as well, and a great sense of humanity. He got you involved in his family, his general life, really. And, you know, Peel Acres, he would, you know, tell you about what was going on down the road.
Bernard, hey, come on down here. Bernard. People think we set this up with a sound effects disc. Yes. Cue the sound effects disc of dog entering room. Bernard, go on, off you go. Go on. See, look how wonderful I am with animals. St. Francis of Stowmarket.
The current tape I've got in the car is from 1990. You'd never realise this tape is about 15 years old.
What a puzzle that all is. Red Rose on Two Friends Records, import from Jamaica, of course. We're Rude Boy. And before that, it was Red Hour. Hardly a week passes without people writing to me and saying, whatever became of Portion Control? Well, they turned into this lot.
Just using it as a John Peel archive, you know, so that the music's not lost forever.
And but listen now to what Andrew Morrison of Portsmouth has to say. Come on, Andrew, don't mess me about. That's really annoying. Hold on, I'll try that again.
Hello, I'm easily offended. For example, I found that last record that John played shocking. If you're like me, and you're upset by really rude things, then I suggest you turn off now. Venture no further into this show, because it may contain bad language.
My name's Andrew Morrison. I was a bit of a long-time Peel listener from around about 1988. Started listening during my acne-ridden, sexually frustrated puberty, and probably finished listening during my acne-scarred, sexually frustrated adulthood. Back in late 2003, 2004, John became increasingly frustrated on air that every hour or so he had to warn listeners that the songs might contain swear words and there might be some offensive band names. So rather cheekily, I spent about 45 spare minutes recording a few of my own sarcastic warnings to CD. And then was quite surprised a few months later to hear them being played regularly on air on virtually every show. And John just loved them to death, even though it was very modest and hastily put together.
And here's one of them, and I like these very much indeed, I must say.
And requested we did some more, so I got my mother, my father, my girlfriend and my best mate involved.
Hi, I'm Scott Ruston, a mate of Andrew Morrison's from Portsmouth, the harbour a deep secret. I love filth.
It kind of escalated to a stage where I'd be emailing bands that I'd heard on John's show, asking where I could get hold of their demos or limited edition singles and things, and I'd hear back from the bands and they'd be honoured to hear from me. It all became quite strange, and it still persists to this day, because I'm usually on Rob the Bank's show doing similar sort of stuff these days. The experience of it ended up helping me get a job for a radio production company, so it was kind of funny in a roundabout way. He sort of contributed to my my CV at the very least.
One of my ambitions for the rest of the year is to meet Andrew Morrison and his family down in Portsmouth. That was Andrew there with the disclaimer. Before that, it was the fallen...
Unfortunately, that never happened.
And that was for my brother Frank, who lives in Crowborough.
I'm Digby Pearson. I'm the founder of Erect Records. When I started the label, it was only a bedroom affair. I sold my record collection to fund the first release, and that was a flexi disc. I only sent out about five or six promo copies, one of which was to Peel, obviously. Peel picked up on what we released straight away, you know, and we were just overjoyed, really. It was kind of, wow, all the bands were like listening in, you know, phoning each other, oh, did you hear Peel just play that track? We couldn't believe it. It was like brilliant. It meant that the music reached out to people that we could never even imagine. Out of about the first 10 releases I did in the late 80s, well, about half of them came in to do sessions, multiple sessions, in the case of Napalm Death, Extreme Noise Terror, Intense Degree, Heresy. I think he got, in some ways, the absurdity of what Napalm Death were, and, you know, he sensed that they were important. It helped that they had this song called You Suffer, which is like 1 second long. It was like they epitomised the idea of shorter, faster, louder, you know, the punk ethic taken to the nth degree.
And an email again from last night from Catherine Redfern. It says, I've noticed a disappointing lack of loud, noisy, 3 second long records that go and then abruptly end. Please correct the problem.
As far as I remember, he played it once, couldn't believe it, played it again, played it again, rewound it, played it again, and he played it about 6 times in a row and just went, oh, this is phenomenal, fantastic. So on the radio, there's not so much support these days. It was cool when Peel got it because it was kind of encouraging.
The first time the Cuban Boys got played on Peel was in the summer of 1998. We'd recorded this sort of one-off mental hip-hop big band crossover track for one of our many other projects. It was based around a sample of a record called Cuban Boy. And as there was no real act attached to it, there was no band that existed, we wrote Cuban Boys on the CD sleeve simply for purposes of identification. When Peely played it 2 weeks later, and then again the following weekend, we realised that people liked what we were doing. We sort of created this concept of the Cuban Boys being these mad sampling scientists that sort of existed in somebody's back bedroom somewhere. It's a good 6 or 7 months before the Hamster Dance record that we made topped the charts.
Station announcer, station announcer.
Back in the spring of 1999, it was John Peel who was playing that late at night to an incredible response from his listeners. And it's a testament to the influence and importance of John Peel that when the record was eventually hit at the end of the year, most of the mainstream tabloid press focused on the fact that it had become the most requested song on the John Peel show since the Sex Pistols. They covered that as much as they did the novelty hamster aspect of it.
It is the kind of thing which, you know, the first time you hear it, you think, what is that? And the second time you think, that is great. The third time you think, if I ever hear that again. But I will play it to you again. I really like it, I must say.
Peely did enjoy playing records that annoyed and irritated people. And to a certain extent, we enjoyed making records that annoyed and irritated people. It's that feeling of standing on top of a multi-storey car park with a massive ice cream cone in your hand. You wonder what would happen if you just dropped the ice cream into that crowd of commuters below.
The kind of foolishness this programme endorses 110%. Those are the Cuban Boys.
We're off? Good. Well, that ought to hold the little bastards.
Starts quietly, but it'll be with you.
We sort of came back together at the start of this year with the idea of just doing a one-off reunion Cuban Boys track to celebrate Peely. In the sort of way that he'd appreciate, and in a way that is affectionate without being schmaltzy. And the way we did it was to record a happy hardcore track using John Peel samples as the vocals.
What a great idea that is.
People understand what we're doing and people think we've captured the spirit of a Peel show, really, in a 3-minute pop record. The attitude of Peely that, you know, you could play anything after anything and you just do it for the love of playing music.
You know what a lovable old guy I am, right? I never lose my temper, but this is the kind of thing that makes you mad. This is, I mean, after all, the nation's number one pop radio station, OK? But some bastard keeps coming in here and taking the styluses, which means that there isn't a replacement stylus, so I've got to do this programme with just one turntable, which means I take that record off, lean over here in a profoundly unprofessional manner, change the speed and start the next record. One of these days, I'm going to find out who it is who does this, and they're going to fire you some younger recognisers because they'll be walking around London with a rather scruffy Doc Martens sticking out of their backside. It's just so pathetic, isn't it? It really is. I mean, sad or what? I mean, whoever it is, if they just tell me, I will buy them a stylus. You know, whoever it is who's nicking them, if you're listening to this programme, just let me know and I will buy you. I'll buy you too.
I'm Johnny from the Soledad Brothers.
I'm Ben Swank from the Soledad Brothers.
And you're listening to Keeping It Peel, a look at the legacy of John Peel on BBC Radio 1.
And at number one, it's me.
I'm DJ Kutsky. I do the residency on Radio 1, 3 till 5 on Sunday mornings, and I play underground hard dance and hardcore. John had an ear for picking up good music, and even though it may not be to everybody's taste, hardcore is good music, and it was just a shame that more people can't have the same open-minded taste that he had with it. And it's when he did these Festival 50, there was a track, CLSM had wrote, which was actually to basically thank John Peel for supporting the music. That was called John Peel's Not Enough, and it was basically getting it out all the other radio DJs ignore music above 150 BPM, and John Peel is not enough, as the track suggests.
And Beyond Adventurous is John Peel, the only hope of a kick drum led track above 150 BPM. John Peel is not enough.
Off the back of that track and sort of John's support for music, the fact that now there is a regular slot for our dance basically shows that John's work kind of has followed through and some good's come of it.
My name's Shane. I run Unpeeled, which is a magazine, a monthly magazine, and a website of the same name.
Yeah, I hear Chris.
We actually started in my shed, and I used to ring the BBC up and say, could you give us your track listings, because John mumbles.
Recorded in Berlin, live at the Bunker Berlin, New Year's Day, 93 party, 60, 64 recorded. Oh, no, I said that's the track numbers.
And these nice old dears used to give us the track listings over the phone.
If anybody asked you who sung the song, tell them Lonnie Donegan been here and gone. Long, long, long gone.
We started collecting them at a broadcasting house, and I would make notes in the margins about what records I wanted to buy, and mates would sort of come around and photocopy them, and then we sort of said, oh, why don't we do a little magazine?
Long, long gone.
What happened when John died? I mean, we had people like ringing up all afternoon sort of thing saying, oh, you know, he's died, you have to pack it in now. And I said, independent music and independent thinking and independent playlisting has lost the biggest outlet in this country it's ever had, and you're turning around and saying we ought to pack it in. I said, no, what I ought to be doing is mortgaging my bloody house and you know, printing 10 times as many copies and giving them away on street corners. So yeah, it's not just that Unpeeled is more important because John Peel died, it's a case that everyone who assists or helps music of an independent nature is obviously very much more important.
And some exciting new projects outside, I mean, club nights and things like that, did I hear?
Stealth is starting up again, yes, fairly soon, which would be good. We'd like you to come down and play it sometime, if you could.
Well, that's very kind of you. I don't really, I mean, obviously I don't really do, because these things tend to happen past my bedtime, but...
early, John.
It's very nice of you to do, but all I do is turn up and play lots of records that people don't like very much.
Identify the beats.
I'm Nick Doherty, I'm the press officer at Fabric, a nightclub in East London. I tried to track John down for a little while for an interview, and eventually he agreed to one, which ended up running in Jockey Slut magazine, which John was extremely fond of. From there, I asked him if he'd like to play some records at the club. I think he was extremely nervous about it. I didn't realise quite how nervous until the night itself, and it did have the feeling of an extremely significant event, certainly for everyone at the nightclub. People travelled from a good fair distance, and there was one lady who was at least 7.5 months pregnant who sat on the steps next to the DJ booth, and when I spoke to her she just said that she really couldn't miss it, even though she knew she probably should have done. It was just great, it was a really memorable night for us all. He wrote about it later on, I think, in The Guardian or The Independent, about what, I think when his grandson Archie was born, that there's not many grandparents that play at Fabric. The one thing of this year that I found incredibly overwhelming was the fact that Liverpool won the European Cup.
The Champions League, Shevchenko, Dunac saves for Liverpool! And against all Liverpool have won the Champions League!
The natural reaction is to say something like, wouldn't it have been great if he was here to see it, or isn't it sad that he wasn't? But I just found it a completely fitting tribute, and just to know how it would have made him feel is tremendous.
Glory, glory,
My name is Peter Hooton. I'm the lead singer in a pop combo called The Farm. Basically, the John Peel Memorial Trophy, as we're calling it, the five-a-side match, it was just something we thought about over a drink one night. We heard about the campaign to have a John Peel Day, and we thought, you know, it'd be great, all the music events going on, but something that was also close to John's heart was football. I did play with him a couple of times in so-called celebrity matches with the likes of Kid Jensen many years ago when they used to have Radio 1 Fun Weeks. He liked to participate. I think he was a nifty winger. He thought it'd be good to have a five-a-side competition involving Liverpool groups and people involved in the Liverpool music scene. I've ordered a trophy and I've got the nearest trophy to what the European Cup is, you know. It's only a miniature version of that, but I think John would have appreciated that.
They apparently get more complaints about my programmes there than any other programme.
On the World Service?
Yeah, apparently so. I was told this many years ago. I like to think that it's kind of true. Irate expatriates discharging their rifles into the radio in the middle of the night.
I'm Barbara, I'm from Germany and I'm a freelance journalist.
My name is Kai and in my free time I make radio, two radio stations at Radio Flora Hanover.
I come from East Germany and when I was 15 or 16 there was no chance to buy records in East Germany, so I listened to BFBS, like the British Army station, a lot. I just, you know, by chance discovered John Peel's shows and I stayed up all night to listen to his show.
I have a cousin in Reading, near London. And I visit her every year, and then I asked the BBC to visit a session from the Magic Band they played in their week, from Captain Beefheart, and they think I'd like to have an interview with John.
We were really excited to see him, and we went on the taxi with him to Maida Vale to see the Magic Band, and we talked a lot on the taxi then.
We talked a lot about death metal. It was very interesting for me. After that, a community radio station made an interview with us.
About meeting John Peel.
Yeah, one girl on the side was Christine, and it's now my girlfriend.
Their first male child will be, his name will be John then. They also decided that, and then they want to get married in Bury St. Edmunds, where John was buried.
There we are, maintaining things that Lord Reith would be immensely proud of.
My name is Raoul Saramitz. I'm from Tallinn, Estonia. I'm a DJ in the radio, in the clubs. I'm a band member, music lover, huge John Peel fan. Around mid-80s, when I discovered his show at BBC World Service, I knew that's it. I was changed after that. Everything he played was that what I always wanted to hear. When I started to listen to his show, I already had a band, and we had to smuggle the tape out of Estonia. Estonia was still part of Soviet Union, and back then, if you'd go to post office and put the envelope there saying BBC, that would mean you had KGB knocking on your door in about half an hour. I knew a sportsman, a wrestler, who went to some tournament in Finland, and I gave this tape to him and saying that, you know, there's the address and please send it to BBC. That was actually how we first contacted John Peel. And he started to send me records every fortnight. So my show really, I mean, it changed the whole Estonia, and I'm quite sure I'm not the only one who thinks that way. When we did the session for his show, he told to his listeners to write to us. And we got loads and loads of letters from England. And people also sent us lots of music. And there was these mixtapes sent to me by a guy called Pete. And he asked me that which ones I liked the most. And the ones I liked the most were by the guy called Rhythm Doctor. He wrote me back saying that he knows that Rhythm Doctor, actually. So I invited Rhythm Doctor to Estonia, and he met a good friend of mine here, and now they're married, and really happily. And that's because of John Peel.
I should point out that in our house tonight, there are some 40 people or so, I think, and the drains are blocked. And once again, I'm very pleased to welcome Laura Cantrell to our house.
I'm Laura Cantrell. I'm a recording artist. I live in New York.
In the immediate days after John died, I got a lot of email from people who knew that I had a friendship with him. And one of those people was a friend of mine from WFMU in New Jersey, where my program airs, Jason Forrest. He performs and makes music under the name Donna Summer. He's a really interesting artist who does sort of electronic collage type of music. It's very different than what I work in. But Jason emailed me saying he was in Germany where he lives, and he was hearing one of John's last World Service programs, and he played one of my songs. And so he emailed me and said, you know, it's so sad that John has died, and I'm just feeling very touched by it, you know, because he was a supporter of mine as well. Would you like to try to collaborate on a song together? And so I thought that that would be appropriate, you know, that because John's taste was so eclectic, that he would appreciate us trying to do something even though our types of music were so different. And so we stole away into the studio and just turned the microphones on and you know, just went for it and recorded this song. The lyrics are inspired by Peel. It's called Night Clothes and Headphones. I certainly will always have the thought in mind, you know, if John would appreciate this or that. And I think about him often just when I'm playing records at home. I do think that those thoughts will continue, and, you know, they're just part of my experience. Down the coast of
says, we're all big fans of your Peely baby. Andrew, somebody your age, Mr. Peel, if you don't mind. And tomorrow,
the thing that affected me quite a lot, that was John's very last show. He dedicated two tunes, one to myself for getting a new job.
And time now for the Pigs Big 78, which I think we should dedicate to Andrew Morrison, our disclaimer man, who's got a new and excellent job, not entirely uninvolved with what he does for this programme as well. And he claims, tongue-in-cheek, I think, that it's his exposure on this programme that has enabled him to get this job. But that would seem to me to be extravagantly unlikely. But well done, Andrew, anyway.
And one to both my girlfriend and I, which was a really, really obscure, ancient blues track after our little cat had got run over.
And here's another record for the pair of you. It seems appropriate to play something from the 4CD set Century of the Blues. This is Frank Stokes.
It was ironic that, you know, we were mourning for our cat, and some sort of 10 days later we were mourning again, but for someone we'd never even met, you know.
1 year on, and many of us still miss John. But everyone has their own way of looking to the future and trying to carry out his legacy, whatever they think that is. For us, it's playing lively and integral music. For others, well, it's these things.
I think as long as people remember John Peel with affection, which they so obviously do, and realise his importance and influence over the world of pop, then that is why Peely will be remembered for many, many years to come, and that is John Peel's legacy.
We'll still spend a lot of time listening to as much new music as I can just to give it all a chance, you know, and I don't want to ever be one of these people that is moaning about how it was always better in the past. I don't think that's true.
People who are in the industry who have a position of where they can influence things, you know, they ought to take a leaf out of Peel's book and check new things out. It's the right thing to do, really. And I wonder what's the matter,
I can't rest at night. What we can do is together we can form a percentage of what he did and try to carry it forward, but it's going to take all of us.
When you work in music, it's easy to get jaded sometimes and to lose your enthusiasm. And when I feel a little bit like, oh, to heck with it, I'd like to just forget all this music, you know, stuff. I just think about how aware John was of how lucky he'd been at being able to work in the business that he loved. It's not a burden, really. So I try to remember that.
And I thought, well, what I'd really like is a job on the radio playing records that I like to other people. And that, in essence, is all I've ever done.
I was out front at Reading Festival once. First time I'd ever had a backstage hospitality area pass. And I was about 21. I'm wandering around thinking I'm cool as cucumber. And through the PA, John Peel comes on and says, a lot of you out there might be wondering what it's like backstage. Well, trust me, you're better off where you are. Never seen a bigger collection of wankers in all my life. And I remember that, you know, and I just thought it was so funny. That kind of sums John Peel up, you know.